I am honored today to take part in Bo's ordination. In my 8 years, as a matter of fact, this may be the very Sunday of 8 years as your pastor. It is, as a matter of fact. The second Sunday, is it the second Sunday in November? I didn't think about that, but it is. It's exactly 8 years today that I have been your pastor. And in those 8 years, Bo is one of those persons I could always count on as being faithful to serve the Lord in many capacities in this church. And also to be this. Let me just tell you this. It's unusual to see Bo dressed this way. What I like about Bo is that Bo is genuine. He just lets you see him for who he is. And he's just real. He's not going to try to be somebody that he's not. And that's what I appreciate about him. He is just who he is. Now, I pray about who he is sometimes. But I thank the Lord that he is genuine and real. I want to share with you from the book of Philippians. Take your Bibles for just a moment, because we'll be going back to Malachi. I'm going to preach through the entire book of Malachi, but because of what we are doing today, as we are recognizing God's calling upon Bo's life, I want to share out of Philippians chapter 1, and we're just going to read a couple of verses. The first couple of verses in the book of Philippians. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just make a comment in verse 1, when it uses the term overseer, that is another term for the pastor. So, Paul, speaking to the church at Philippi, he says to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the pastors and the deacons, is what Paul is saying. Now, let me just share with you a very strange statement when you consider what we're doing today. Do you know that nowhere in the Word of God is a deacon ever ordained? Did you know that? You'll not find one place in the Bible where we have an ordination service of a deacon. Might surprise you. But you can go and search, and you can look far and wide, and it's not there. Also, did you know that the term deacon is only found in two places in the Scripture? The first one's right here that we have just read. The second place that the term deacon or deacons is found is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, you'll find Paul giving the qualification for a deacon. Other than those two passages of Scripture in the Word of God, we do not find the term or the word deacon anywhere else in the Word of God. So you might say to me, then if we don't find them ordaining deacons in the Bible, why are we practicing that? Why do we ordain deacons? in our churches. Well, let me just share with you in the first place that the Bible may not show us an ordination service, but that doesn't mean that they weren't ordaining deacons. And in the second place, in the book of Acts in chapter 6, there seems to be a consensus among biblical scholars or Bible scholars that the men that were chosen in Acts chapter 6 to help take care of the widows who were not getting their supply, their daily supply of the food, the consensus of Bible scholars is that that was actually the first set of deacons. And if that is true, the Bible tells us that once the church chose those seven men, that the Bible says that the apostles laid their hands on them and prayed for them. So it is possible that that is the one and only place in which deacons are ordained in the Bible, if that is what that in Acts chapter 6 is talking about, is the ordination of deacons. But listen to me. We do it in our churches because it is our way of acknowledging God's calling upon a person's life. We do it in our churches because we believe that God calls people to do ministry. God calls some people to be pastors, as we find in the book of Philippians right here, to the overseers, to the pastors. And God calls some people to be deacons, as we find here, to the overseers and the deacons. But if you go to 1 Corinthians and you read chapters 11 and you read chapters 12 and 13, that's 12, 13, and 14, what you'll find out is that God calls all of His people to do ministry. He calls some to teach Sunday school classes. He calls some to play instruments in the praise team. He calls some to sing in the choir or in the praise team. He calls some, though, to go out into the prisons and do ministry in the prison, just like Kairos Ministry that we had this weekend, who used our facilities to cook homemade meals to take to the prison over here and give those good homemade meals to the prisoners and then use that as an open door to share Jesus Christ with them. So we ordain our deacons as a way of saying that we acknowledge God's calling on your life. But let me say to you that there may be a reason why the word ordination and deacons are not mentioned in the Bible together. It may be simply for this reason. Because the Bible knew, and God knew, I mean, that people would take the term ordination and make something out of it that God never meant for it to be. In our minds, we tend to think that people who have been ordained, that somehow that ordination gives them some kind of magical power. Or we think that somehow that instills in them authority. Or we think somehow it makes them more holy. Or somehow it sets them apart better than the rest of us. But let me assure you, brothers and sisters, that according to the Word of God, ordination is not meant to accomplish or do any of those things. It does not make you somehow magical. It does not give you more authority. It does not make you more holy. It does not in some way set you apart and make you better than the rest of the people who are within the church. No, you see, what it does, it simply acknowledges and recognizes God's calling upon a person's life. And by the way, let me ask you this question. How many of you today in this room, and I want you to put your hands up, how many of you in this room have been ordained in some way or another in this church, or in any church, put your hand up. You've been ordained. Put them up high. Let's see them up high. All right. You can see all those people who have raised their hands. All right. Now let me ask another question. How many of you in this church or any church you've served anywhere, and you've had a ministry, whether it was to teach a class, whether it was to be a choir leader, whether it was to sing in the choir, whether it was to lead Vacation Bible School, how many of you have done those things, but you have not been ordained? Put your hand up. All right. That should pretty much be almost the rest, at least, of the adults in this room. Now, here's the point I want to make. Even in the Bible, we do not find everybody being ordained when they do a certain ministry. As a matter of fact, most people were not a part of an ordination ceremony to do the ministry that they've been called to do. Here's what you need to know. God has ordained you, though. He may not have you set through a special ceremony. You may not be recognized and set aside, and the church may not come and lay their hands on you and pray over you, but you need to understand something. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what position you may hold, what job you may carry out. God is the one who sets you aside, ordains you, and calls you from His Spirit to do His work, and you're responsible to carry it out, and it's just as important as those of us who have that official title of being ordained. I'm not on a pedestal up here because I have a certificate hanging on my wall that tells about my ordination service at Rocky Hill Baptist Church in 1978. I got it in there. All the names signed on it, and we'll give Bo one of those as well. But that didn't make me any better or more holy or more special. It was just the church's way of acknowledging God's call upon my life. But even if you don't go through a ceremony like the one I went through and like the one Bo's going through, don't get discouraged and don't think, but that doesn't mean then I don't have to serve, I don't have a ministry, I haven't been set aside. No, God calls us all. Do your work. Even if you never go through an ordination service and get ordained, you're just as responsible to carry out your work and serve the Lord as though you had been. But I'm excited today that we are here to set Bo aside, ordain him, and acknowledge God's calling upon his life. And then let me say to you the other idea that I mentioned to you, that it's only found two places in the Scripture where a deacon, the term deacon, is actually mentioned in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2 that we've just read, and 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. Why do you suppose that is only found so few times in the Bible? Have you ever thought about that? As a matter of fact, do you know that nowhere in the Scripture does it say, here are the duties of a deacon? Did you know that? It says here are the qualifications of the deacon. It says here are deacons serving in the church at Philippians. But nowhere in the Word of God does it tell us what the role and the responsibility of the deacons are, and that term is only found in two places in the Scripture. Why is it found only in so few places? Why is it not more prominent and not as prominent as we've made it in Baptist life over the last couple hundred years? And you know why I think? Because it's what the term means. The word deacon, deaconos in the Greek, means what? You know what it means. What does it mean? It means servant. It means servant. You see, the one thing that we know about servants, those who are in, quote, quote, a service role, a servant role, they don't get the attention. They're in the background. You see, over the years, Baptist churches and so many other churches have taken that position and turned it into something that God never meant for it to be. Nowhere in the Bible do you find the term deacon board. Deacons weren't meant to be a board. They're meant to be servants, helping the people in their walk with Jesus Christ. They're meant to help to teach the Word of God. They're meant to help to do the service in the church. They're meant to help with responsibilities that requires helping the people in their walk with Jesus Christ. I thank God today that we are setting aside Bo Mills, because I know one thing that he believes in, and that's serving and helping the people. And that's what it means to be a deacon. That's why they're not so prominently mentioned in the Word of God, because they're in the background serving and helping the pastor to help the people as they go through trials and difficult periods in their life. As they need someone to pray with them, a deacon will stop, and you can stop a deacon and say, "Pray with me," and they'll pray with you right where you're standing. You need somebody to call, you can't get the pastor, call your deacon and get him to pray with you and get him to help you, encourage you. They are in the background doing the work of service. And I want to say to you that I am pleased to work with the men that God has sent to Great Swamp Baptist Church over the 8 years that I've been here, to watch them help me help the people. That's what it's all about. And let me just share something with you as I bring my message to a close. Here's the amazing thing. What did Jesus say he came to do? He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he came to serve and not be served. Wait a minute. So let me ask you this question. Was and is Jesus the Son of God? If he was and is, would you say amen? Was and is Jesus the eternal Son of God? Say amen. Was and is Jesus co-equal with the Father and the Spirit? Say amen. Well, and does Jesus deserve our praise and our honor and our sacrifice and our service? Say amen. So why in the world do we find a verse that says he came not to be served, but instead to serve? You see, you know what is probably the number one trouble that churches have had to deal with over the years is who's going to be in control? Who's going to strut their authority and their power so they can tell you what to do? Well, let me tell you, that was foreign to Jesus Christ. When he came to earth, he came to serve. And when you come to church, if you're going to be like Jesus, You're not going to come in here and strut and show people you got the power and the influence to just rule and run over their lives. If you want to be like Jesus when you come to church and when you live your life, then you ask the Lord to help you to figure out how to be of help and service to others so you can be like Jesus. Today, as Bo will be ordained in just a moment, I know already from our question and answering service with him the other night that he understands his role is one thing. Be like Jesus. Reach out and serve the lives of God's people. And all of God's people said, amen. Would you grab that right there for me, please, Sir Richard? Thank you. I want to share this with you, what we're going to do. Bo, come on up, if you would, please. I'm going to ask Richard, grab a chair here and just set it down here in the middle for Bo to sit on. Bo, if you would sit there, please, sir. What we have today is a charge to the candidate, and then we have a charge to the church, and then we have the laying on of hands and the closing prayer. So I am about to read the charge to the candidate, Mr. Bo Mills. And he will respond, and then I will read a charge to you, church, and you will respond. And I want you to understand, church, that your charge is to encourage Bo by your response. And Bo's response is to be an encouragement to you as he seeks to serve the Lord. Bo, do you promise to strive to so live that you may honor Christ by your life? And do you promise in the presence of the office of deacon in this church and to the best of your knowledge and ability to discharge all the duties of this office? Now, church, do you members of this congregation acknowledge this man as deacon in the church? And do you promise to encourage and to pray for him and his office and to cooperate with him in the fulfillment of the mission of the church? And if you do, you will so indicate by saying amen. Amen. Now I will ask my deacons, present serving deacons, and anyone who has been a deacon to come on up as we lay our hands on Bo to pray for him. So come on down. If you would do that, please. If you are serving now or you have served or you are a deacon, ordained deacon, come on down. Get on both sides of him and come around here, a couple of you, if you would, please. Now, I'm going to ask y'all all to touch Bo to the best of your ability, or somebody touch him. Bo, get close to him there, as close as you can. I'm going to ask our church to stand up. Would you stand up, church? Now, I'm going to ask you to hold your hands together, church, body. And then I'm going to ask the closest of those of you to the deacons to step up and touch one of them, because what we're going to do is together, we're going to, as a whole church body, we're going to be connected in our touching of Bo. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are honored to be in this place today to celebrate the men and women who gave their lives that we might be free as a nation. And then we are honored, dear Heavenly Father, to come and celebrate those that you are setting apart to be servants within this church. And we as a church have made the decision that through the Spirit's leadership that you wanted Bo Mills to be our new deacon. So here we are, Father, as a body of believers, touching and holding our hands together, and that we want to show our acknowledgement of your calling on his life. We also want to pray and hold our hands together and touch him that we might show him that together as a body of believers, we will support him and pray for him. And then, dear Heavenly Father, as we touch him, we know in his heart that he wants us to understand that he's praying for all of us. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just pray on this day. It will be a special day. I'm honored that it's on my 8th anniversary that we set him apart. It's a special day for him, Father, that he can say that on this day, he didn't become, in some magical sense, more powerful. He didn't get more authority. He didn't become more holy. But what he did do was he said to these people, I'm ready to serve. And so, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would empower Bo to be like Jesus, a man that serves and helps people and this church in their time of need. Thank you, Father. And we're just trusting that he will be used mightily for the glory and honor of Jesus is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Now, in just a moment, we will sing a closing song together. And I'm going to have Bo stand down here, and I'm going to have you, after the song, come by and let Bo know. I have a certificate. I didn't bring it in here with me, so I'll present it to him next Sunday before you, and in honor of his new position here at Great Swamp Baptist Church. So we remain standing. We'll sing our song together. We'll have our closing prayer. And you come by and congratulate Bo for God sending him this way. And also thank you again, veterans. We love you and we thank God for you and what you have done for our nation.
We're going to sing hymn number 285. Hymn number 285, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go.
Let me just share some wonderful, great news. We've had a powerful, wonderful day already. Well, I just got some more powerful news to share with you. If you don't know, this right here is Jeffrey Stanley. Now, Jeffrey, let me just share with you, is Fred's son. And most of the people in this church know his situation. Not more than a couple of months ago, just a little more than a couple of months ago, we didn't even think he would be alive. And we didn't think he would be pulling through. And if he did, we thought that he would be in the hospital for months upon months upon months. Well, I want to tell you, he's here, and I got something else to tell you. Today he came to my office, and he made assurance of his salvation, and he's ready to follow the Lord in baptism. Amen. Would you give the Lord a big round of applause? Amen. And he's ready to be a part of Great Swamp Baptist Church. Did you want to say anything to the people?
Just, I know there's a lot of prayers when I was in the hospital. Just, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here, so thank you, everybody, for that.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. And he shared with me about making a decision in the hospital, but he wanted to get that assurance, and today he did that, and he's excited to be a part here. And I want you to as well let him know you're glad for his decision that he's made to surrender and to follow Jesus Christ. This is exciting. God is working and moving at Great Swamp Baptist Church, and I praise his holy name. All right, we'll have our closing prayer. I'm going to ask you to stand here, Jeffrey, and I'm going to let Bo stand right beside you. Is that okay? And people are going to come by and greet both of you, okay? All right, thank you. And tonight, 5:30 for our meal, 6:30 for the video series. Come and be a part of it, even if you haven't been to other ones. Come on tonight.
Father, we just thank you for all the blessings you bestow on us. We just thank you for all the exciting things that's happening around here today. Thank you, Jesus. As we leave this place and go our separate ways, I pray that you'll be with each and every person in here. Bring us back tonight at 5:30 for our service tonight. All this I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.